Chapter 14, Cage. Sex with Quinn was what I always thought sex was supposed to be like. Sex with Tasha and the other girls was fine. No one had any complaints. But with Quinn, I felt like a man on fire. Being with Quinn did something to me. I felt complete when I was with him. Holding him, I had thoughts about white picket fences and kids running around the yard. He was my other half. I was sure of it. There was no question that I was in love with him. I held on to him all night. After I drifted off to sleep and rolled over, losing contact with him, I woke up long enough to reach my hand back in search of his body. It wasn't until I found it that I was able to again fall asleep. In the morning, I opened my eyes to find him cuddled in my arms. I could smell his hair. There was a hint of strawberry in it. I could have lied there forever, and we almost did. We didn't even think about getting up until after 11. By then, we were both hungrier than anything else. "What should we do today?" I asked him as he reluctantly peeled away from me. "Get something to eat? And then for the next 10 hours before going to Nero's book club or whatever it is?" "I don't think it will be a book club," Quinn said, taking me seriously.
"I'm kidding. Yeah, something tells me that Nero doesn't get his kicks from a well-constructed sentence," I joked.
"Probably not,"
Quinn agreed with a smile. God, did I love to see that man smile. The two of us took turns in the bathroom getting ready, and then we headed downstairs. Dr. Sonia was hovering.
"Well, good morning,"
she said, blushing. It was pretty clear that she knew what we had been up to the night before. Staring at her, I tried to remember how loud we were. I hadn't been quiet. I looked around, wondering about the thickness of the walls. They probably weren't very thick. Whoops. "Good morning," I said, embarrassed. Quinn seemed to miss his playful ribbing.
"It's closer to good afternoon,"
he corrected.
"I know, and I figured you two might have built up an appetite.
We're definitely both hungry,"
Quinn said, seeming to miss Dr. Sonia's suggestion.
"Good, because I went out to get you a selection of pastries. I was hoping they wouldn't go to waste. Let me get them,"
she said, headed back to the kitchen.
"Have a seat."
Quinn and I sat at the round table in the breakfast nook and got comfortable. Dr. Sonia returned with a selection of croissants, sweet buns, and fruit. The only thing that could have made it better was bacon. But bacon made everything better. So that wasn't saying much.
"What are your plans for today?"
she asked, hanging around as we tried her treats. "We're not sure yet," I said, pulling a croissant apart and popping it into my mouth. "This is really good."
"They're made locally. We have a budding pastry chef on our hands. I've been doing everything I can to nurture his interests."
"They're very flaky,"
Quinn volunteered.
"They're excellent,"
Dr. Sonia concluded before changing the topic.
"Can I expect your wonderful company another night? Or will you be heading back today?"
Quinn answered.
"We're meeting up with Titus tonight, but we're going to be heading back afterward. We have classes and he has work,"
he said, deciding for both of us. It was what we had discussed, but I thought we were going to play it a little more by ear. This place wasn't cheap, so I could see why he wouldn't want to stay another night. But the way he said it made me think that us having to get back had more to do with me than him. The guy was brilliant. Him missing a class or two wouldn't matter on his grades at all. I was the one who had to struggle with everything. I was pretty sure that he wanted to get me back so I wouldn't fall behind. It's very sweet of him to look after me like that. It is the first time in my life anyone has. But at the same time, I was liking it here. There was something about it that made me feel like I belonged. I was hoping Quinn felt the same way.
"Well, it was my pleasure hosting you two. Hopefully I'll see you again. Callie's going to be disappointed he missed you. He was quite taken by the two of you. I told him that if he wants to see you, he should apply for East Tennessee University. He's been dragging his feet on it, but meeting you two might have given him the push he needed."
"It's a great school,"
Quinn said.
"If he decides he wants a tour, I'd be happy to give him one."
"That would be wonderful. I'll let him know. He would love that."
I couldn't help but get a flash of jealousy listening to Quinn offer his tour guide services. Maybe he was attempting to push out of his comfort zone, but I couldn't help but remember how much the kid was crushing on Quinn. I had told Quinn, so he was definitely aware of it.
Now it was with him that Quinn was choosing to go out of his way? On second thought, I was probably looking too much into it. Quinn was a great guy, and great guys did nice things for people. Helping Callie get excited about college was a nice thing. I just didn't want to think about my boyfriend with anyone else. I wanted to be the one to take care of him for the rest of our lives. Yeah, let us know. We can give him a tour, I said, making sure Callie knew not to be too excited about it.
Wonderful. I have your number, Quinn. I'll pass it along. I have a few errands to run, but here is my card. Feel free to give me a call if you need anything else, she said, handing it to Quinn.
So, what are we going to do until the night? I asked, reaching for a slice of cantaloupe.
We could drive around.
I think we've seen everything there is to see, but we could text Titus to see if he has any suggestions.
Do you think he'll mind?
Quinn said with a smile. Why would he mind? I asked, already taking out my phone and texting him. Any suggestions for what Quinn and I could do today? I typed and sent. It took less than 10 seconds for my phone to ring. It's Titus. Who responds to a text with a call? I asked, surprised. Hello? Cage? I was hoping to hear from you two. Remember how I said that Snowtip Falls has a pretty good high school football team? I remember. Well, that was me bragging a little because I'm the coach. You coach the team? I do. It's just something I do to keep the program going. Coach Thompson, the guy who coached our team, died last year. I'm sorry to hear that. Thanks. And not wanting to leave the guys without a coach, I volunteered. But I was thinking, how great would it be if you, with your experience, came and gave them a little talk? You know, nothing formal. I think it would be thrilling for them. Maybe you can inspire them to get their asses in gear. And honestly, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm trying, but I could always use the feedback. What do you say? You have any interest in coming over and talking to a few talented kids? I would love to, I said, looking at Quinn. I'll have to talk to Quinn about it, but I think we can swing by. Would you? That would be incredible. I'll text you the address. And if you get here around 2, I'll give you a tour of the school. It has a rich history. I'll talk to Quinn. Great. I'll see you soon, Titus said, ending the call.
What did he say?
Quinn asked, having not taken his eyes off of me. He wants me to come by and talk to his high school football team.
You agreed?
It's not like we have anything else to do, I told him. Quinn didn't disagree. Over the next few hours, we lounged around, made out a little, and took back the crutches Glenn had lent to me.
Were they useful? Glenn asked.
Definitely, I said, having barely used them at all.
How was your stay been? Make any headway on solving your mystery?
Dr. Tom suggested we talk to Nero, Quinn replied.
To Nero?
Glenn asked, confused. Yeah. Do you know why he would?
Tom isn't the chattiest person when it comes to what he knows about people. It makes having small talk with him a challenge.
What do you know about Nero?
Quinn asked, switching into investigator mode.
Not much. He grew up here, attended the high school, played on the football team. He's always seemed a little angry. I see him every so often working as a busboy at the diner.
We saw him there, I told him. He did not like seeing us.
What do you mean?
I was holding Quinn's hand, and he commented.
Really? That surprises me.
Why?
Quinn asked.
I don't know. Tom's been his doctor like he is for everyone in town. And he's had some anger issues, but he's always been respectful of the two of us. He hasn't even hinted at anything homophobic. At one point, I even got the impression that he was looking up to Tom as a father figure.
What happened to his father? I asked Glenn.
I don't know, but I don't think he ever knew him. It's tough growing up without a father.
It can be tough growing up with one, I replied.
Yeah, Glenn agreed. When parents disappoint you, it has a way of leaving a mark.
I know a little something about that, I said, turning to Quinn, who grew up with 3 loving parents. He was staring at us blankly. Picking up a few snacks, we next headed to the local high school. It looked like a converted warehouse. It was yet another location not on my phone's map. Pulling into the parking lot, we spotted Titus in his truck waiting for us. When we parked next to him, he got out. His broad smile was as big as ever. He certainly had a way of making people feel welcome. Titus's tour began in the school's main building. It was where they used to store their moonshine after bottling it. In the 50s, the town got a few more kids and they converted it into a high school. The building's square footage has been growing ever since. I had thought that my high school's locker was lacking. It turns out it was professional grade in comparison to what the Snowtip Falls team had. The field wasn't much better either. It's not much, but it's about the grit of the players and not the quality of the field. That's what I always tell them, Titus said, showing us around. You're right, I said sincerely. There are guys on the team who have real potential, too. If we had better equipment and a better coach, he said with a self-deprecating laugh, some of these kids could go far. Some might even be good enough to get a scholarship to East Tennessee. You would know something about that, right? Maybe you could talk to them about it. My heart melted at his request. I would be happy to. Anything I can do to help, just let me know. Titus's smile in reply was genuine. He cared about the kids. There was no question about it. He was a good guy. Are you Cage Rucker? One of the kids asked me when he came onto the field for practice. I looked at Quinn. Quinn smiled. Yeah, I said, suddenly liking being recognized. I had been recognized 100 times over the years, but this was the first time in a long time that it affected me. I wasn't sure why. Callie, you're on the football team? I asked when he joined us on the field in uniform. He blushed, staring at me. Yeah, I'm the kicker. He has a golden foot, that one, Titus said encouragingly. Callie turned red and then peeked over at Quinn to see if he had heard it. Quinn had. Callie was crushing on my boyfriend hard. Callie was a smaller guy with a style that hinted at emo. To see him on the team surprised me. It made a little more sense to find out he was the kicker. He didn't have to be built like a linebacker to kick a football 80 yards. And sure to show off for Quinn before the beginning of practice, that was exactly what Callie did. He was unquestionably good enough to play for a school like East Tennessee. A few of the kids here were. To my continued surprise, Titus didn't just have me speak to them. He wrote me into running practice. It ended up being fun. Something about it felt right, even though I was sure that Quinn was bored out of his mind. I appreciate you doing this for the kids, Titus said as we headed back to our trucks. Seriously, it was my pleasure.
Cage was in his element, Quinn told him.
I didn't think Quinn would notice that, but he was right. This was definitely what I wanted to do with my new life.
Would you guys allow me to take you to dinner to thank you? We could head to Nero's thing afterward.
That would be cool, I said, not giving Quinn a chance to weigh in. The truth was that working with the kids had given me a high, and I wasn't yet ready to come down from it. Heading back to the diner, both Quinn and I looked around for Nero when we entered.
He's not here, Titus volunteered.
He helps out with the rush on the weekends, Titus said, making fun of how few people it took to be considered a rush in Snowtip Falls.
Do you know Nero well?
Quinn asked, putting back on his investigator's hat. We went to school together. He was a year under me, but he was in a couple of my classes. We did play to the team together, though. Football team? I asked. It's the only team we have in Snowtip Falls, Titus said self-deprecatingly. We can only afford one extracurricular activity here. So, I hope no one's interested in women's basketball. Oh, that sucks, I said, feeling for the girls.
I came from a small school, too. Sports weren't really a thing there either, Quinn volunteered.
What about the Math Olympics or whatever it's called? The School of Geniuses would have to be able to crush at that, right? I asked, wanting Quinn to feel a part of the conversation.
We weren't encouraged to do stuff like that.
Why not? I asked, surprised.
We stood out enough. If we did something like that and won, which considering the kids at my school, I assume we would have, it would have increased the resentment people had towards us. We were always told to do our best not to stand out until we had to.
That's a little sad, I told him, imagining what my life would have been like if I was told to hide who I was.
It's what we had to do,
Quinn said with a half smile. So you couldn't stand out in any way. You were crucified in the press whenever someone wrote about you, and you had to always worry about being kidnapped?
Yes,
Quinn confirmed with sadness in his eyes. I didn't say it, but everything about Quinn suddenly made sense. The first time we hung out was because I had promised to teach him how to be more social. Ever since, I've wondered how he hadn't learned the skill. You didn't have to be the life of the party to talk to people at one. But if you grow up being taught to fear everyone outside of your circle, how could you turn out any other way than Quinn did? And honestly, it was admirable that Quinn was as normal as he was. You two are going to have to clue me in on what you're talking about, Titus said, struggling to follow our conversation. I looked at Quinn. It didn't seem like he wanted to talk about it. Maybe later, I told Titus before changing the topic. We finished dinner and chatted a little longer before we eventually settled the bill. Even though Titus had offered to pay, Quinn insisted. Titus fought him on it until I stepped in. Just let him, trust me. Titus was hesitant but conceded. I couldn't tell what Titus was thinking, but it was obvious that he was used to being the big man. Perhaps I should have told Quinn to let him do it. But the truth was that it felt unfair considering what I knew about Quinn's family's wealth. Besides, it was something Quinn wanted. I had a hard time not giving my boyfriend what he wants. So, what is this thing that Nero's doing? I asked as we walked to the trucks.
It would be better if you just saw it, Titus explained.
Okay, I said, looking over at Quinn, who was holding my hand. Quinn didn't say anything about it until we were alone in the truck, following Titus on narrow roads leading through the woods.
Yeah, this is definitely not a book club, he said,
watching the trees as they went past the window.
Do you think this is a good idea?
Do you think we should go back? I can still turn the truck around.
Do you?
Quinn asked me.
We're only going because we want to talk to Nero. We could easily come back next weekend or the one after that. You heard Titus. Nero works the weekend rushes.
Do you think we can trust Titus? I asked Quinn, wondering if my assessment of Titus was off.
He doesn't seem to be a bad guy.
Do you think he would lead us into the woods to kill us? I had meant it to be lighthearted and then remembered Quinn's history with kidnapping.
No, I don't think so. This just feels like the beginning of every horror movie ever. I don't think it is one.
You're probably right. I paused. So, when we get there, you check the barn, and I'll check the tool shed. I'm sure we can find a phone somewhere, I said, looking over at Quinn for his reaction. He looked at me blankly.
What?
It's a horror movie reference, I explained.
Oh.
I don't think Quinn got it. Yeah, this road kind of reminds me of the one leading to my place. I'm guessing it's a little different than the ones leading to where you grew up. Quinn looked around again.
It's not even close.
That made sense. Quinn grew up in New York City. I could see why driving on a road like this in the dark might freak him out. Quinn, if anything happens, I'll keep you safe. I promise, okay? Quinn looked at me.
Okay.
He didn't just say he believed me. He acted like it. Having earned his trust, there was no way I would betray him now. No matter what happened, I was going to protect Quinn. I was ready to die trying if I had to. When we finally pulled up in front of a glowing barn, things didn't feel any safer. There were several trucks parked out front, and the light within flickered. Are you sure it's okay that we're here? I asked Titus, feeling the aggressive focus I did before a big game. You wanted to see him, right? He'll be here. That wasn't an answer, I clarified. I'm sure you'll be fine. You look like you can handle yourself.
Why would Cage need to handle himself?
Quinn asked, bringing up a good point. You want to see him or not? Titus asked, staring at us. I looked over at Quinn. I knew that no matter what happened, I could fight my way out. But what about Quinn? Was it worth putting him in danger?
This is our chance to speak to him,
Quinn pointed out.
He could have the answers to everything. I say we risk it.
I smiled. I would not have thought less of him if he had said we should go back. But here, he was thinking of me, not himself. I was definitely falling in love with him, if I wasn't in love with him already. Okay, let's go in, I said to Quinn. This better not turn bad, I said, threatening to tear Titus apart if it did. I didn't know what to expect, but as soon as we stepped through the barn's doors, everything made sense. There were about 20 people there. All of them were facing a circle drawn on the ground where two guys were beating the shit out of each other. This was bare knuckles boxing. Although, To call it that gave it more respectability than it deserved. This was a fight club, pure and simple. People came here to beat the crap out of one another. Right now, one of the people everyone was cheering on was Nero. He was bleeding from his nose, but his wild eyes said that there was no way he was going to lose. His eyes didn't lie. His quick movements allowed him to land a left and an uppercut. As we watched, he laid his opponent out flat. I hadn't given him the credit he deserved when I challenged him at the diner. He wasn't big, but he was fast. I was no longer sure I could take him. He had a killer instinct that I had never felt. That made Nero dangerous. I considered getting Quinn out of this place. I was no longer sure I could protect him here.
You!
Nero yelled, spotting me just inside the doors. It was too late to go anywhere. We were going to have to play this out. I couldn't get us out of this if I wanted to. And I didn't want to. What I wanted was to make sure that Quinn wasn't hurt.
You two know each other?
Titus asked, leaning into me. We've met, I said, feeling my blood start to boil.
Was there something you didn't tell me?
Titus asked, concerned. Yeah, a lot, I said, keeping my eyes locked on the shirtless, battered man who marched toward us. Nero's blonde hair was tousled. His face was dirty, and his rippling, lean torso was bruised from hits. That told me how he fought. He guarded his face at the sacrifice of his body. I would remember that if things went wrong.
What the fuck are you doing here, fag?
He said, coming in hot.
What did you say?
I asked, readying myself to break his ribs for it.
Whoa, Nero, unnecessary,
Titus said, stepping between us.
You brought them here? Why the fuck did you do that?
Nero, I know you're just stepping out of a fight so your adrenaline is flowing or whatever, but you need to calm down.
Yeah, Nero, you better listen to your friend and calm your ass down,
I told him, preferring to knock him down instead.
You want to say something to me? You caused me to lose 2 days' pay.
It was your dumbass that did that, I made clear.
Okay, you two, I think you both need to relax,
Titus declared.
Maybe what we need is to settle this in the ring,
Nero said, wild-eyed.
Yeah, we do. Point the fucking way, I told him, peeling off my jacket and my shirt.
Everything around me faded away, replaced by a loud ringing in my ears and the tunnel vision I got at the beginning of a play. Walking into the poorly outlined circle, the guys surrounding it parted. I entered and immediately remembered my leg. I was beyond feeling pain at this point, but I wouldn't have my full movement. Fighting a guy as quick as Nero could be a problem, and I didn't care.
Fag, huh? You ready for this fag to beat the shit out of you?
Nero laughed and stared at me with an insane smile. Whatever I was going to do, I was going to have to do it fast, because there was no doubt about it. The guy was nuts.
Stop!
I heard someone yell from behind me. I recognized the voice. It was Quinn, but I couldn't let him distract me. I was in this. I had something to prove to Quinn. If not to Quinn, then myself. Or more accurately, my dad. My first blow landed square in his chest, knocking him back. He had probably never been hit so hard in his life. I could tell by the light going out in his eyes. That's when I went in for the attack. This time he bent over protecting his torso, so I caught him on his wrist and the side of his face. He stumbled. I knew if I gave him a second to breathe, he would wipe me out. I couldn't move fast. I had to rely on my power. So, ready to break my hand across his chin, I pulled back my fist in time to hear.
You have to stop. He's your brother.
I froze.
What?
That was when Nero snuck one past me, catching me on my chin. I fell to my knees. It wasn't that he had knocked me out. It was that I didn't want to fight anymore. Quinn had yelled that Nero was my brother. Was that true? I had to know. There was no way I was going to fight family.
Stop!
Quinn said, suddenly running into the ring and placing himself between Nero and me. For a second, I thought that Nero was going after Quinn. If he did, brother or not, I was going to kill him. But he didn't. And it took a second for him to process Quinn's words. But as he did, he dropped his fists and stared at the two of us.
My brother?
He said, quickly calming down.
Titus, who are these people?
Titus looked at Nero, as confused as he was.
What are you talking about, Quinn?
I asked, shaking off the cobwebs and standing. On my feet, Quinn led me out of the ring and away from the onlookers.
Remember how I knew that you were adopted?
You said my dad didn't have any dimples, and the chances that one of my parents didn't was near impossible.
Look at him. The dimples in his cheeks. The ones under his lip, his chin.
I stared at Nero.
He did have a dimple in his chin and on the two sides below his lower lip.
But so what? Didn't a lot of people? Quinn, that's not much to go on.
But think about it. Why would a doctor who probably worked at the hospital you were born in tell us to talk to the guy with the same rare mixture of dimples that you do?
I looked back at Nero. Could Quinn be right? Could Nero be my brother?
What the fuck is going on?
Nero said, staring back at us.
How was I supposed to handle this? How was I going to tell an asshole, homophobe, that my boyfriend thinks we could be brothers because he's an expert on dimples?
I wasn't sure. But when he and Titus followed us away from the crowd, I knew I was going to have to be honest.
Seriously, who the fuck are you two? And what the fuck is going on?
Nero said as Titus hovered. Knowing there was no way around this, I pulled back my shoulders and resigned myself to whatever was going to happen next.
My name is Cage. This is my boyfriend, Quinn. A couple of days ago, I learned that the man who raised me might not be my biological father. We believe he might have taken me from the hospital I was born in, Falls County Hospital. We've been here the last few days because we believe that my birth mother might have lived in this town. We don't know if she's alive or dead. We don't know anything. It's all just a guess. But Quinn is smart, very smart. And he said that you have a rare trait that I do too. And the only way we could both have that trait is if we were brothers.
Nero stared at me, calmer than I would have guessed he would be. What I was telling him was insane. Yet, all he did was look at me questioningly.
What trait is that?
Nero asked. I took a deep breath before answering. It's your dimples.
My dimples?
Yeah. Some dimples are rare. Nero looked at me strangely.
Dimples?
He turned to Titus.
Titus has the biggest dimples I've ever seen. Does that make me related to him too? Half the people in this town have dimples.
It's the combination of them, Quinn said, defending himself. Dimples aren't rare. Well, certain ones are, like the ones under your lip. But they aren't rare enough to matter. To have all of them at the same time, the odds are low.
Nero's eyes bounced between the two of us.
Why'd you come here?
I told you, we came here because I thought my birth mother might be from this town.
No, I mean, why did you come here tonight? You trying to say that you just showed up here by accident?
We came looking for you, I told him.
I figured, why?
I looked over at Quinn.
Because after I asked about Cage's mother, Dr. Tom told us we should talk to you.
Dr. Tom?
Nero said, suddenly rattled.
Yeah, I saw him yesterday. I asked him because his husband had said that he worked at the hospital during the time that Cage was born. He wouldn't tell me anything, but he suggested that you would be someone in town I might be interested in talking to. I think he said that because he knows you two are related.
Nero stared at Cage intensely.
No, no, this is bullshit. You all are just making this up.
We're not, I told him. I swear to you, we're not. I didn't know how to ask what I knew I had to next. I opened my mouth, hoping words would come out. It took a moment, but they did.
Tell me, is your mother alive?
I asked, my heart thumping in my chest.
Yeah,
he said hesitantly.
You're not telling her this crap, if that's what you're thinking.
Quinn spoke up.
Has she ever talked about something like this? Did she mention a child dying after birth or being kidnapped or something?
Nero backed off.
No, no. Who put you up to this? Is it you, Titus? Did you do this shit?
I just met these two giving a tour. I had no idea about this.
Nero turned back to us angrily.
Who have you been talking to? Did you just think it would be funny to fuck with a sick woman's head?
Your mother's sick? I asked, suddenly scared to lose her.
No. I'm not saying a goddamn thing more. Prove to me this shit is real. Prove to me you are who you say you are.
You want to see our IDs? I asked.
I don't want to see your fucking IDs. I want you to prove to me that anything you said is real. How am I supposed to do that?
I asked him, hoping he would be reasonable.
I know how,
Quinn said, grabbing our attention.
You do?
How?
I asked.
We could test your DNA. I have an uncle who works in genetics. I was named after him. He would help us figure this out. The test would be able to tell us if the two of you are related, even if it's just cousins.
Nero looked at Quinn suspiciously. No, I'm not doing this. You people are making this up. It's all bullshit. Titus turned to Nero.
What if it isn't? I spent the last 2 days with them, and they're decent guys. What if he is your brother? I know that if I had a brother, I would want to know. What if they're telling the truth, Nero? Imagine that.
Nero turned to Titus. This is a lot, you know. It's a lot.
I know, but what if? How would you feel if you do have a brother and you pushed him away?
Titus said, putting his hand on Nero's shoulder. Nero softened as his thoughts swirled. He looked tortured before looking resigned.
Listen, I didn't mean all that fag stuff. It's just that when I saw you two sitting there looking so happy, I thought, what about me, you know? Why does everyone but me get to be happy? I didn't mean anything against you.
I looked over at Quinn for his reaction. I wasn't sure I was willing to forgive him.
That's okay,
Quinn said, being the good person that he is. Yeah, you're forgiven, I confirmed. But don't ever say shit like that again, you hear me? I said, meaning it to be a threat, though I wasn't in a threatening mood. No, I won't. It's not me. Ask Titus. Titus shrugged, not taking a side. Anyway, I didn't mean it. You two seem like okay people, but I can't let you tell my mom any of this. Not until there's proof. She couldn't take it if you're wrong or lying or something. She's not like that, you know?
So you'll do the test?
Quinn asked. I'll do your test. I stared at the disheveled, shirtless guy in front of us. He was no longer the angry, wild man from the ring. He was vulnerable and scared. Was this who he always was? Was this guy my brother? I couldn't believe that after feeling alone for so long. I could have a real family. How do we do this, Quinn? Do we have to spit in a tube or something? I asked, suddenly needing answers.
I mean, we could do that if you wanted to do one of those ancestry tests.
You mean like the commercials? Nero asked.
Yes, but they take weeks. If we got blood samples, I could ship them to my uncle overnight. I'm sure he would rush it through, and we could have the answer in a couple of days.
Let's do that, I told him. Yeah, days sounds better than weeks, Nero confirmed.
Okay, the only question is, how do we get the blood samples in Snowtip Falls?
Dr. Tom, Nero suggested.
Do you think he'll do it?
Quinn asked. Dr. Tom and I are cool. If I ask him, he might, Nero said.
When?
Quinn asked.
Because we're heading back to school tonight.
Quinn, I think we can stay over one more night if it means getting blood samples. Nero interrupted. No, he might do it tonight.
Really?
Then give him a call, I told him. Nah, if I called him, he would tell me to come by in the morning. I have a better idea, Nero said, retrieving his clothes and getting dressed. When we all returned to our trucks, we caravaned out of the middle of nowhere back into town. Things took a while to look familiar. When they did, we were pulling up to the house we had visited the day before. In the back was Dr. Tom's office. In the front was a beautiful two-story home that glowed. Someone's still awake, I told Quinn. Do you think this is a good idea?
Which part?
Any of it. All of it. We don't want to piss off the only person who will be able to do the test.
We don't know this town or the way it works. Maybe people do this all of the time here.
You think people show up at his house in the middle of the night requesting genetic tests all of the time? I asked with a smile.
You know what I mean.
I do. But that wasn't really what I was asking. Do you think finding out if Nero is my brother is a good idea? I mean, the man hosts fight clubs and throws around homophobic slurs. Could all of this end badly?
It might,
Quinn conceded.
Anything could end badly. We could end badly. But just because it might end badly isn't a reason not to try to make it end well.
It rattled me that he suggested that things between us might go bad. Did he really think that? I was ready to be all in with Quinn. Not only is he the hottest thing ever, but no one has ever done for me what he has in the few months I've known him.
Quinn was a keeper, and I was going to hold on to him with every breath I had. Parked in front of the house, Quinn and I followed Nero and Titus toward the porch. The front door opened before we got there. Glenn and Dr. Tom stepped out wearing robes.
"Nero? Titus? Is that you?"
Dr. Tom asked as we approached.
"What's going on?"
They didn't reply. When Dr. Tom saw us, they didn't have to.
"I see you found Nero," he said to Quinn, stoically.
"I did. But not before the two of them tried to kill each other,"
Quinn told him.
"Huh. And what are you doing here?"
"We need a blood test,"
Quinn explained.
"Come back in the morning. Did you know that I could have a brother?"
Nero asked Dr. Tom. He didn't answer.
"You did,"
Nero said, shocked.
"After all those things I told you were going on, you couldn't tell me that my mom might not be crazy?"
For the first time, Dr. Tom's stone face cracked. Regret washed over him.
"There are a lot of things that a doctor can't disclose to anyone, no matter what."
"That's bullshit," Nero interjected. "I was a kid crying out to you about all the crap that was going on, and not once did you even suggest that this could be a possibility."
"That's not true," I hinted. "I told you that sometimes things aren't what they seem."
"And that was supposed to mean something to a 10-year-old? That was just a bunch of adult garbage to me. How was I supposed to know that you were telling me that I had a brother and that my mom wasn't nuts?"
"No, you're a fucking asshole."
Dr. Tom regained his composure.
"Fine, I'm a fucking asshole. If that's all, you can all have a good night."
"Wait," I said, stopping him from going. "Look, I don't know you, but I'm getting the sense that you know me, at least a little. I don't know why you wouldn't have told Nero that he might have had a brother. I don't care. All I know is that for 22 years, I've been denied having a family, at least one that cares about me. And if you take 20 minutes of your time, you might be able to cure me of that. Isn't that what doctors are supposed to do? Cure people of disease? Well, this is my disease. Help me. It'll take 2 minutes.
Dr. Tom's eyes bounced between the four of us, yet he didn't budge.
"Just do it, Tom," Glenn said, moved. "There are things going on, Glenn."
Glenn put his hand on his husband's shoulder and spoke to him kindly.
"Just do it."
The doctor melted, looking into his love's sympathetic eyes.
"Fine. Follow me to my office. But I don't know where I can get a genetic test done."
"I have a place. My uncle works in genetics and..."
"Quinn Toro."
Dr. Tom stopped and whipped back around to look at Quinn.
"You're Quinn Toro. I can't believe it. After you left, I thought it could have been you. But I didn't think there was any way,"
he said, suddenly awestruck. "I've had a lot of people recognize me for football, but none of them looked at me the way that Dr. Tom looked at Quinn. It was like Dr. Tom was looking at a god."
"You know him, Doc?"
Nero asked, confused.
"Yes. You're looking at a miracle," Tom proclaimed. "I've been following everything I could about your life. You have given Glenn and I hope that we could have a family one day," he said, with tears forming in his eyes. "The procedure is expensive, so we've been saving up. But you're everything to us," he said, becoming breathless.
Quinn listened politely and then turned to me. There was pain in his eyes. I didn't completely get it, but I was starting to understand some of the things he had been telling me about his life. He had said that he felt pressure to do great things. I thought he was talking about the pressure that everyone felt to do well, but no. What it must be like for Quinn to know that people looked at him like Dr. Tom did. What it must be like for him, knowing that he had to live up to that. The pressure I felt to make it to the NFL was nothing in comparison. Quinn's life was unlike anything I could imagine. What the hell was someone like him doing with a nobody like me?
"I'm sorry,"
Dr. Tom said, gathering himself.
"Come, let me get you what you need," he told Quinn.
Drawing a small vial of blood from Nero and me, the doctor labeled them and handed them to Quinn.
"This should be more than enough," he said, composed.
"Thank you,"
Quinn replied.
"Yes, thank you," I said before looking over at Nero.
Nero looked away, still pissed at the bearded Latino man. Standing in front of our trucks, Quinn turned to Nero.
We'll let you know as soon as we find out anything.
Okay. Can I get your number? I asked him, as nervous as I would be on a first date. Yeah. What's your number? I'll text you. I told Nero, and a few seconds later, my phone buzzed. I got it, I told him. Cool. So, I guess we're headed back, I told them. Okay, Nero said, hesitant to say goodbye. Instead of walking away, Nero threw his arms around me, pulling me close. I thought he was hugging me. He was instead pulling my ear to his mouth. He whispered, seriously, I'm really sorry about what I said. It's not me, all right? All right, I assured him. It's not me, he repeated. That's cool, Nero. A fresh start. Nero pulled away and smiled. Yeah, a fresh start. I saw it. He was as covered in dimples as I was. If Dr. Tom hadn't practically confirmed it, I would now have no doubt. I was looking at my brother. Quinn, it was nice to meet you, he said, offering him his hand.
Good to meet you too,
Quinn said politely before both of us got into my truck and pulled away. Most of our 2-hour drive back to school was in silence. The last 3 days had been a lot. Not only had things happened between Quinn and me, but I might have found my family, and I might have realized that Quinn and I weren't meant to be together. Quinn had bigger things he had to accomplish with his life. I saw it now. He wasn't meant to live the life I envisioned for myself. That didn't mean I didn't want to be with him. I had fallen for him, hard. But at what point did I become a distraction from him doing something incredible that changed the world? I drove him to his building, and we both sat in the truck with the engine running.
This weekend was,
Quinn said, trailing off. It was something, I completed. Quinn laughed.
Yes.
Now that I'm back, I'm probably gonna have to make up a few shifts at work, but I want to see you.
I want to see you too, he said with a smile. After all, you are my boyfriend.
Yeah, I am, I said, having forgotten. With that, I leaned over, slipped my hand behind his neck, and pulled his lips to mine. The kiss was electric. The heat between us billowed. Having him in my hands again made my body tingle.
Cage!
I heard someone say. I pulled away from where I most wanted to be to see Tasha staring into the truck. She looked shocked. Behind her was her best friend, Vi, because of course she was. With her mouth still hanging open, she ran to the door of their building.
I take it that she didn't know?
Quinn asked. She didn't have to know. She broke up with me. Besides, I'm proud to have you as my boyfriend. You're too good for me. Quinn smiled.
Did you want to come up?
He asked with the cutest shy smile. Thanks for the invitation, but I should go home. I have class in the morning, and it was a long drive. Quinn was disappointed.
Okay, when am I going to see you again?
I thought about that. There was a part of me that wanted to go to his room with him and never let him out of my sight for the rest of my life. When do you think you'll get the results of the test?
Oh, I'll call my Uncle Quentin first thing tomorrow morning. I'll send it as soon as I can after that. It will get to him by the next day. I'm not sure if he will be able to get to it immediately, but I assume he'll have everything done by Friday.
Wow, that's fast. It's good to know people.
It comes in handy sometimes. So, when do you think I'll see you?
How about I send you a text? I told him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, send me a text.
I smiled, kissed him one more time, and then watched him walk away. He was the sexiest person I had ever seen. I couldn't believe that someone like him wanted to be with me. It wasn't until Quinn was out of my sight that pain shot up my broken leg. I flinched. Where had all that come from? All weekend, I hadn't felt a thing. Suddenly, the ache was overwhelming. It took everything I had to focus on the road instead of the pain in my leg. 40 minutes of it was enough to wipe me out. So when I got home and found the house as empty as I had left it, I dragged myself to bed and collapsed. I had told Quinn that I needed to sleep at home because I had an early class. That was true. But the next morning, I didn't make it. I was in too much pain. I could barely make it to the bathroom to find my painkillers. They were the strong stuff, so they kicked in pretty quickly. But not before I missed my only other class for the day and guaranteed I would be late for work.
I sent it. Not long now,
Quinn texted. Reading the text was immediately followed by a clench in my chest. Why was I feeling this? Yeah, something was wrong. But what? I mean, I knew what was wrong, but what was I going to do about it? He sent it off, I texted Nero. Not long now. Cool, he texted back a few hours later. When do you think you'll know? Quinn guessed Friday. I didn't hear back from him after that. I wasn't sure why. I also didn't know why I didn't text Quinn back. I wanted to text him back. I wanted to pull him into my arms and hold him like I had in Snowtip Falls. Why wasn't I? As I thought about it, I considered if it was because my life was in limbo. Maybe I had made a mistake to give up on football. I didn't love it, but wouldn't me being a starting quarterback in the NFL be something Quinn could be proud of? Wouldn't our pairing make more sense like that? I could never be equal to Quinn. No one could. But couldn't my fame help contribute something to a life like his? As much as that seemed to make sense, there was still the problem that I didn't want to do it. I stepped away from football for a reason. I gave up the money, the lifestyle, even my relationship with my father, or whoever he was, to be rid of it. But would it be worth the fight to get back to it for Quinn? If anyone, I would do it for him. I would probably have to do it if I wanted to be with him. I absolutely wanted to be with him. Maybe I wasn't texting him back because I wasn't ready to make that commitment. I just wish there was any other way for us to be together forever, or other than committing to a life I didn't want. The week went by without me texting him, yet I thought about him every day. I longed to see him, to hold him in my arms. I felt like my skin was being peeled from my body without him. I felt paralyzed without him, yet I couldn't get myself to reach out. I was going through the motions of life, knowing that I would eventually hear from him again. Finding out whether Nero was my brother would put Quinn and me in contact one way or another. On Friday, when I woke up, I grabbed my crutches and drove to campus. After my classes ended, I headed to the Student Activity Center for my shift at work. Today was the day when the pain from my leg radiated into my thigh and hips. Even sitting didn't relieve the pain. Despite how loopy they made me, I was thinking about popping a pill. I had been trying to cut back on how many I had been taking. It felt like I was getting a little dependent on them. They didn't just make the pain in my leg go away. They briefly allowed me to forget how much I needed Quinn. Deciding I couldn't take the ache anymore, I eased over to my backpack and reached for my prescription. I was fumbling with the cap when I heard the beep of someone scanning their ID card to enter. My eyes flicked up to the computer, and I saw a face I hadn't seen in a while. It was Lou, Quinn's roommate. My heart sank because the last time he had signed in, it had been with. I looked past the monitor to the entrance. Quinn was standing behind Lou with his head down. Seeing him made my heart race. I shot up, feeling none of the pain I had felt moments before. Quinn!
Oh, you remember his name now?
Lou said, pissed.
What? You call him your boyfriend. You take his...
Lou lowered his voice.
You take his virginity. And then you don't contact him for 5 days? What type of shit is that? You know, if you just wanted to get your dick wet, you didn't have to play with his emotions to get it. Guys like you think you can treat people however you want.
Lou, it's not like that. I've been wanting to contact Quinn every day.
Then why haven't you, huh? Why haven't you?
It's complicated.
It's complicated, huh? It seems pretty simple to me. Either you want to be with an incredible, wonderful, caring guy like Quinn, or you don't.
I do. Lou looked at me confused and frustrated as I felt.
5 days.
I know. Lou, can you give us a minute?
You think I'm going to leave him here to let you hurt him again? No way. Anything you can say to him, you can say in front of me.
Quinn looked up. His eyes looked red like he had been crying. Had I been the cause? Of course I had. My chest clenched thinking about it. What the hell was I doing? I had to figure it out. Quinn touched Lou's shoulder lightly.
Lou, can you give us a minute?
Lou looked at Quinn and froze.
Are you sure? because you're going to need someone to stand up for you if you're not going to stand up for yourself. I'm sure, Lou,
Quinn said, with pain in his eyes. Lou looked at me, still boiling with anger. I couldn't blame him for that. I probably wouldn't have been so nice if the person hurting Quinn was anyone other than me.
I'm going to be right inside, okay? Just say my name and I'll be there. Thank you,
Quinn said genuinely. Once Lou had disappeared around the corner, Quinn and I turned to look at each other. I desperately wanted to hold him.
How have you been?
Quinn asked, his voice weak. Not good, I told him honestly. All of the walking I did last weekend caught up to me as soon as you left the truck. I've been popping these things just trying to stop myself from passing out, I said, holding up the bottle still in my hand.
I'm sorry to hear that. I did think you were pushing yourself a little hard.
You tried to get me to stop multiple times, but it's like when I'm with you, the pain goes away, and I think I can do anything.
Why haven't you texted me, Cage? Is it just something you don't do? I remember your relationship with Tasha and how you two didn't spend that much time together. Is this just how you do relationships? Because I don't know if I can do this, if this is what you're expecting. I want you to be my boyfriend. And I don't know much about how things like this work, but I don't think it can work like this.
Wow, I had forgotten about Tasha. As I thought about it, this is what I did with her. The difference was that Tasha preferred having her space. But I hadn't avoided texting Quinn because I didn't care whether or not I was with him. I hadn't texted him because being with him came with a commitment that I was having a hard time making. Looking at him now made the decision a lot easier. When I was with him, all my pain was gone. I was sure that he was the one I was meant to be with. I just had to suck it up and do my part to make our relationship work. It's not that. How I felt about Tasha doesn't compare to how I feel about you.
Then what is it, Cage? Help me understand what's going on,
he implored, his eyes filling with tears. I've had a lot on my mind. A lot is going on, you know. I might have a brother I didn't know existed. I might have a mother. How do I even wrap my mind around all that? And I've been thinking that, I lowered my head to gather my strength. I've been thinking that I should go back to football.
You're thinking about playing football again? I thought you said that you didn't enjoy it.
I've been thinking that it might be what's best. For us, I said, closely watching his reaction.
For us?
He asked, not giving away his feelings about it. Yeah, it would be hard, but I could still get to the NFL. This injury won't last forever, and I might not get drafted as high as I would have before all this, but with time, I could get myself into a starting position. I'm sure I could.
If that's what you want,
Quinn conceded. I think it's what's best.
For us?
Yeah.
Okay. If that's what you want to do, you should do it.
What do you think? Would you want to be the boyfriend of the first out football player in the NFL? I asked, mustering a smile.
I just want to be your boyfriend. I don't care what you are,
Quinn said, as sweet and caring as ever. Even though he didn't say it, I knew that my playing football made a difference to him. He needed to be with someone as special as he was. I was willing to be that for him. And I just want to be your boyfriend. I want it more than anything, I told him, leaning over the divider and taking his hand.
I love you, Cage,
he said, causing my heart to soar. Quinn, I love you too, I said, before moving to my boyfriend's lips and losing myself in his kiss. Pulling away, I stared at him, awash in warmth. I couldn't believe that I had stayed away from him for so long. We had so much to catch up on.
I heard from my uncle,
Quinn said suddenly, bringing my elation to an end. Your uncle with the results? I said, letting go of his hand and pulling away.
Yes. Do you want to know the verdict?
Did I want to know the results? Of course I did, I think. What would knowing them change? Probably everything. I didn't even know what it would mean to have a family. The man who had raised me and then had disappeared wasn't what family was supposed to be. I had always known that. What if I could have that other thing with Nero and my mom? I want to know, I said, preparing myself for anything.